Give a little time for the child within you. Don't be afraid to be young and free. Undo the locks and throw away the keys and take off your shoes and socks and run you.
I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
And I'm Jordan Morris, boy detective.
And this is
Jordan,
Jesse, go!
Icicles, tricycles, ice cream, candy, lollipops, popsicles, licorice sticks, Solomon, Brandy, Raggedy Andy, Tweedledum and Tweedledee, home free.
This week on Jordan, Jesse, Go! Excerpts from the Max Fun Marathon, featuring some very awesome celebrities. Let's go. Welcome, friends, to another Jordan, Jesse, Go! Program. It is I, Jesse Thorne. For those of you who don't know, and I don't know how you could if you're a regular Jordan, Jesse, Go! Listener, 1 week ago, we held the Max Fun Marathon. It was our first ever 8-hour podcast. We started at 4 o'clock in the afternoon and went until midnight. We were joined by our pal Dave Shumka from Stop Podcasting Yourself and literally 25 guests, including some folks we knew and loved and some folks we didn't know and some folks we kind of knew and people who'd been on the show before and people who hadn't. There was quite a variety of people. There were 50 people in the audience who came at the very beginning and stayed through to the very end, sitting on lightly padded folding chairs. Coco the dog in the background. It was really a blast, and so we thought we would present to you, while I go on vacation, thank goodness, some highlights from the Max Fun Marathon, featuring first Sarah Thayer and Andy Richter, and then our old pals Rob Hubel and Paul Scheer. We introduce our next guests.
Why don't we?
You might know them from stage, from television. They're popularly known as Hollywood's number one power couple. Please welcome to the stage Sarah Thayer and Andy Richter. Sarah and Andy, Sarah and Andy, making their way to the stage.
Hello.
Hey, guys.
Oh, your hands are
good.
Full.
To see you.
Hi.
Nice to meet you.
Sarah, I'm getting the feeling, I can't say this for sure.
I can't. Guess where I'm going when I'm
all
in
right, the Andy, enough of your famous pratfalls.
I can't say this for certain, but you look like maybe you got your hair did for the occasion.
No, I did it myself.
No, you did it yourself?
I had a babysitter.
So. Don't you know that you're Hollywood royalty?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, our salon room is being worked on, so she
my
had to
shampoo
do it herself.
Yeah. You know, that's the when you really know you've made it. You have your own shampoo sink in your bathroom.
And by wow. by make it, she means become an asshole.
And by shampoo sink, I think she means bidet.
Can we say we can say asshole in other countries.
I just did,
absolutely.
Baby. Go ahead.
There
I
are
we
three
do.
Racial slurs that you can say.
Mm-hmm.
Let's try and guess which ones they are.
My bionic ear
Hint,
is perking up.
You cannot say guinea.
Oh.
Please don't.
Well, you just did.
So the show is now over. Goodbye.
It's a pleasure to have you guys here. Sarah, we've been trying to get you on the Jordan, Jesse, Go! Program for many years, on and off.
I know. I've been so busy.
Yeah.
Blow-drying my hair.
You had...
I've heard that one before.
I think that the last time we tried to get you on the program, you had a Hollywood dinner meeting.
Yes. Yeah.
Now, that's serious when you've got a dinner meeting, because certainly you'd expect to have...
I call all dinners that so I can write them off.
And you have to make sure in case I'm an IRX tax enforcement professional.
Exactly. You don't know.
You never know who's going to do what.
I'm putting in for an hourly wage for this. This is business. Yeah.
You are union.
I'm billing the government.
For some reason, Andy's microphone has gone vertical here.
I changed it that way. Am I supposed to talk to the top of it?
Yeah, this is a talk-to-the-top microphone.
Oh, I wanted it to be old-timey
radio.
Andy,
if we go too long, do you get a meal penalty?
No. Okay. No, I saw snacks, so I'm fine.
It's great to have you guys here. Andy, I saw that you're going to have your own television special.
Yes.
Host a television special program.
Well, I'm just hosting. It's not really mine.
What is it? Okay, now this is, I guess...
If it was yours, only you would get to watch
right,
it.
Right, exactly. Only I would get
Everyone
to watch
else would
it,
leave,
be
leave
in
the
it,
room.
Shoot it,
your,
write it.
Your employer, the Conan O'Brien operation.
Yes.
Conan O'Brien, the figurehead
it's
of this.
It's the Conan O'Brien syndicate now.
Sure. now that you wiped out Murder, Inc.
That's right.
And by that I mean Irv Gotti and Ja Rule. They pretty
right.
much wiped themselves out. changed their name to The Ink later.
The hip hop references are lost on me.
They're lost on this entire audience. I persist in making the hip hop and sports references that are lost on upwards of 94% of our audience.
Hey, let me get things back on track. X-Men First Class Dreamcasting.
I just saw in Google News today about Kanye West's new album, and it was from MTV.com, but they called him Ye. Like apostrophe Ye.
Right. Like is Yeezy. It's short for Yeezy.
Is that done? That's a new one on me.
Well, Ye, I'll tell you this. In the Bay Area where I'm from, the San Francisco Bay Area.
Stop bragging.
Ye is a popular thing to call cocaine. Ye is what you call cocaine. That's why it's colloquially known as the Ye Area. Because that's where E-40 makes all his money selling cocaine. Rapper E-40. Anyway.
And actually, we just went into my meal penalty. So.
You guys know E-40, the politician, right? You'd know him for his quarterbacking.
Okay.
I understand you have a television special.
From yes. Canada? Dave Shumka.
Are you the script supervisor?
Yeah, that's right. I'm just trying to keep us on point.
Yeah, he's the one that's got to get the video equipment to a wedding.
It starts at midnight.
The TBS television concern has...
Turner Broadcasting System.
Yes, they've gotten involved with the Conan O'Brien Syndicate.
Sure.
And the writers from
you've
the
exchanged,
Conan Show.
You've exchanged some guns for Buffalo.
That's right. Smallpox all over the blanket. we're going to do a Writers of the Conan Show special on TBS, and I'm going to host it.
Is this related to now, I assume that in part this is related to the fact that you're a well-known, charming television personality.
Yes, of course.
In part, is it because Conan's not allowed to appear on television or doesn't want to, burst the bubble of anticipation that's coming up? You want to build it, not burst it.
In the Conan O'Brien Syndicate, our capo understands that he's got to give... He's got to let everybody get their beak wet.
He's got sure.
So
absolutely.
He's given us all a taste.
Yeah. Word has come down from the capo de capi, Ted Turner, from his Montana bison farm.
Right.
That
we should all start
that Richter,
running our cars on algae. That's his latest
thing. Is that something that Ted Turner believes
no,
in?
No, but he's really... First he said, I think that the BP thing in the Gulf was God telling us to get off of oil. Which, what a dick. There's so many other ways to tell
like
us
a
other
rude
than
way.
Ruining the Gulf.
Yeah, he could have just had like a really amazing display of Northern Lights and then text on the sky.
Right. What about like a super magnetic pulse that turns all the cars evil?
And then clean burning coal steps in to save everyone.
Yeah.
It destroys the evil cars.
Clean coal industry. When you become a Turner Broadcasting System affiliate, do you spend any time with Mr. Ted Turner?
I have not met Ted.
I went, not to my knowledge. I went to a book event. Our friend, minor television personality and author John Hodgman,
sure,
was emceeing a book event at a big book conference convention here in Los Angeles. And the lineup was Hodgman was hosting it, and then the woman who wrote reading books in Tehran, or what was that book
teaching
called?
Teaching women to read in Tehran.
Yeah,
yes,
reading Lolita in Tehran. She was there.
She knows stuff for real, not just for jokes. I think,
if I remember...
Sarah, what's that like? What's that like to know stuff?
I'll be the sober member of the panel.
I think that there was also the guy who wrote The Kite Whisperer. Is that correct? The Kite Whisperer?
Kite, Pray, Love.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I was going to say Eat, Pray, Da Vinci Code.
Oh, sorry.
And the headliner of this event was Ted Turner. And so Hodgman walks out on stage, and this guy, I mean, we all know John Hodgman. This is an engaging, charming, hilarious man. He knows his audience. He knows the book audience. He's got his finger on the pulse of the book world, the feeble pulse of the book world.
Right. He's kind of like Neil Diamond to them.
He's got some great Dune material he's wheeling out there.
Tonight!
People are laughing. He's talking about spice and spice worms, and people are just shitting their pants with delight at this. Mm-hmm. And meanwhile, on the dais, reading Lolita in Tehran, she's enjoying it. The Kite Whisperer, he loves it. He's having a great time up there. And Ted Turner could not have a more hateful look on his face. He's sitting there, and of course, he's up. There's only four people on the dais, and he's the famous one. He's the one who was married to Jane Fonda and has all the bison. So all eyes are on Ted, right? And he has this look on his face, like, we've got cameras here, like one eyebrow raised, like if I were to put it into words, I would say it would be loosely, how dare you? Like as though he's insulted by the fact, maybe he's offended by mentions of Dune because he's really into the Farscape mythos. but it was really intense, and I was really worried. I was like, what is going horribly wrong? And I asked Hodgman about it. Apparently, Ted Turner's hard of hearing, couldn't hear any of the jokes, didn't know when to laugh.
And
Ted Turner
basically thought he was mean, and he's just old.
Yeah. Exactly.
That was the story.
Ted Turner. But what was amazing about it was that Ted Turner went up at the end. He's the closing speaker of this thing. He goes up, and he's not. You can understand why he remains on the board but isn't running the show anymore. Yeah. He's not 1,000% coherent.
Right, sure.
He has a significant amount of coherence.
Right.
He has stretches. His speech was composed of discrete stretches of coherence.
Sure. Right.
He's threatening to fight people, not imaginary characters that might be not in the audience.
Right.
If I were to paraphrase Ted Turner's speech at this book conference, it would be, hey, I've done a lot of fucking. And you don't expect a billionaire to go up and just say that.
Did he have charts? And,
Yeah, are you sure he wasn't just, threatened by John Hodgman's alpha male?
His virility.
Like, I'm the only alpha male at this book conference.
I'm top dog.
It's what I must imagine the set of The Expendables was like with Jason Statham and Sylvester Stallone in the same room.
Dolph Lundgren.
Dolph Lundgren was there.
I think the thing of it is that anytime you're at a book conference, there's going to be a super masculine pissing contest.
Right, sure.
You know?
Sure.
And Hodgman's going to win that contest every time.
Absolutely. Unless he goes up against Elizabeth Gilbert. Mm-hmm. If Elizabeth Gilbert is there...
Is she a rapper?
I don't know who
that is. I think she played
either.
Darlene in Roseanne.
Yeah, that's what I was...
Dave, I'm going to ask that for the balance of this afternoon and evening's program, that anytime I make an allusion that no one should be expected to get, that you just assume that you're not getting it because you're from Canada.
Right, okay.
And that way I'll at least have one guy on my side. Can I ride a little lift or whatever in your head, have some biscuits.
That's England. Can I double back topics just a little bit?
Absolutely, please do.
Sarah, I have a question for you.
Wait, I don't know if we have time.
Yeah. Do we actually have time?
We have 8 hours, Jordan. Oh,
okay. I thought we had segmented this in a way.
We're going to be talking about, whether or not it's a good idea to buy your insurance from the auto club pretty soon.
Sure. Apple juice, orange juice, I can't figure it out.
I one time... was watching because I just don't do enough gay things. I watched the Orange County PBS station's fundraiser where they were showing a Mitzi Gaynor documentary. And Mitzi was there herself so that these fawning hosts could ask her questions. And it was all her television specials. And it was like called Mitzi's a Poppin' or something like that. And it was really
everything's coming up Mitzi.
It was fantastic, but they were asking her for her Hollywood reminiscences, and before each one she would go, do we have time, can I tell this, is it okay if I tell this? And I just by the eighth time she said that, I was like, That's the only fucking reason you're there is to tell this.
Maybe they need to cut to an episode of Are You Being Served?
Yeah.
That might...
Can I tell this now? Is it okay? Yes, I just asked you to tell it, Mitzi.
Do you think parents... Here's my question.
Wait, but we need to go back to what you were going to say, because we...
I have a Mitzi question.
I want to talk about Mitzi.
I'm the host of this program.
Oh, sure.
We're gonna get back to Jordan's thing.
You better hold
on. I have a Mitzi question.
Oh, it's going to be
I'm
good.
I'm sorry.
Do you think...
I knew what I was doing when I mentioned Mitzi Gaynor.
Now, somebody might name their child, like, you know, Electric Star or something, because
sure.
they want them to become a Hollywood... celebrity.
Yeah.
Douchebag, I thought you were going to say.
Right. Well, sure. Do you think that parents name their child Mitzi in hopes that they'll become a gay icon? Or do you think that aspiring gay icons change their name to Mitzi?
I bet you Mitzi is, well, if we have some.
I bet it's the most popular purse dog name in the world. It's got to be.
And I bet you Mitzi maybe chose that one for herself. Or
right. Mitzi
some,
Shore, too.
Yeah, but. I don't think she was a gainer. I think she was probably like a, you know, something long and Slavic before
right.
she was a gainer.
I wish we'd done Jordan's thing.
Yeah.
Well, son, you go and you watch this special, and then you come back and you say that.
Jordan, what was that
let's,
topic?
Hold
that you
on. Let's all
up?
See if we can find the special online. Let's all watch it yeah. together and then redo this conversation.
It was pretty good.
I'm not sure if this is Mitzi Gaynor related or not, but I went.
Most
I once
are.
Went to a smoking cessation hypnotist who
that
someone
is Mitzi
told
Gaynor
me
related.
Was related
yes,
to her. But it's totally unsubstantiated. But I went to him, and I so did not. It was like three visits, and you will never smoke again. And the first visit, all he did was show me photographs of black lungs, which I was like. Pfft. Seen worse, you know. I mean, I totally did. Just wanted to find reasons.
You
so
grew
I
up in
keep
coal
smoking.
Country.
Yes. So,
yeah, coal miner's
among,
daughter. The
among discarded
shirt.
Organs.
Yeah. The second visit.
A common refrain was in your house was you ain't working hard enough. Your spit ain't black.
Right. The first visit, I like, you know, was criticizing his decor, and the second visit, he had shaving cream in his ear. And I was like, "What a slob!"
Maybe
he
needed to see
lungs.
A shaving cream in the ear secession specialist.
I was just looking. But the third visit, I asked if I could use his bathroom. And his faucets on his bathroom sink, one was the female symbol and one was the male symbol. Mm. And he had a water pick, that's a big tip off. Who has water picks anymore?
Yeah.
But the worst part
in
is
their office, specifically.
It had what looked like a pubic hair on it. And when I saw that,
so
I was
you
like,
think he's
that's
possibly...
it. I'm so leaving here and smoking. But that was my reason to not quit smoking, was to criticize that
was
he had
that,
a pube
wait,
on
so
his
did you have
pit.
A theory about why it was on there? Is he grooming his...
No, I didn't want to know.
Food
how
out
does
of
a,
it?
I think
it's
pretty obvious.
Well, let's not theorize
now. And we can just move on.
Yes, exactly.
How does a water pick... I know a water pick is a kind of electric toothbrush. Does it literally shoot water into your teeth?
It shoots little.
It's actually
shoots
like
water
a little tube
into your
just
teeth,
shoots water.
Your taint, wherever you know at some point during the day in your office, wherever you need it to shoot.
Right. So there.
But
are...
I still don't understand how it's Mitzi Gaynor related.
I don't think I can say legally.
Oh, all right. Never mind. Moving on.
Like he was like Mitzi a third Gaynor. Cousin of Mitzi Gaynor.
Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha. Like
am I the only one who doesn't know who Mitzi Gaynor is?
She's actually doing a show in New York right now called My Life Behind the Sequins.
Oh.
And I've heard it's really good, but she's not in good voice.
Canada's straight, apparently.
Yeah.
She's in the United
Enjoy
States.
Enjoy your Nickelback.
Yeah,
there.
Sorry.
If I could explain it to you, in the United States, Dave, she's sort of a Jean Chrétien type.
Okay,
figure.
Right. She was your prime minister.
Yeah. Yeah. Prime minister of fabulousness. No, she was a singer and dancer.
Okay.
And
any relation to Gloria Gaynor?
Do not think
no.
so.
No.
Any relation to the smoking cessation?
No.
Smoking
no,
cessation.
Maybe that was her pube.
Yeah, it was
smoking
it, she's
cessation
very
legend
pubic.
Water pick butt.
It was a sparkly pube. Could have been hers.
Mm. I've often considered that if podcasting and public radio hosting doesn't work out for me in the long term, that maybe I could make a play to be a gay icon. Because it seems like a great gig, right? Because
we're listening.
You guys could, either one of you guys could make this move. For God's sake, you were on Strangers with Candy, Sarah. That's pretty much.
I'm already semi.
You're 75% of the way. You just got to close the deal.
The more expensive the shoe department, the more people are like, oh my God, I can't believe it's you. From Strangers with Candy.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
So, but if you're walking into a Payless, they're just brushing you off.
I know. That's why I don't shop there.
No, really, the tinier the glasses, gay guy.
Yeah. When the lenses are like pupil size, zero in on me immediately.
My God, it's you.
I mean,
Coach Wolf.
There's precedent for this. I mean, look at, like, for example, Margaret Cho. Margaret Cho was a successful comedian. She was a very hot young comedian at one point, you know, in the era of the hot young comedian where everybody was getting a sitcom, late in the everyone's getting a sitcom era. She had a bad experience making a sitcom. She retrenched, considered her options, and thought, look, I've already got Korean people on lock. And
on lock is actually a Korean name.
Yeah.
Korean rapper.
Yeah.
So we had that was all set, right? And she went during her retrenchment. She said, "Gay icon."
But she's very open about being bisexual and stuff too.
Well, I'm not unwilling to. I mean, I'm happily married, but
you would have to get tattoos and a spray tan, I would think.
Yeah. Really?
Maybe you can get a tattoo of a spray tan.
Of a tanning bed, a tattoo of a tanning bed.
You've heard
bed.
Of permanent makeup.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I mean, do you think I could possibly become? I mean, I'm only somewhat effete, but I am somewhat effete, and I'm not that fabulous. I'm not that fabulous, but I am. You know, I mean, you know, I'm a little bit.
But you're straight.
I am straight. That's true.
See, how many, can you name any
straight
men who are
gay
icons? Straight
male, gay icons? Ooh. Well, I mean, there's
Liberace.
Sort of...
He never found the right girl. Yeah. He didn't find the right girl.
He died looking for
her.
He did. Confirmed bachelor.
Have you guys ever been to the Liberace Museum?
No, but my grandmother used to go every year.
Really?
And bring us
annually?
Playing cards and stuff from there.
We were, because remember Dennis Frank got married at the Liberace.
Right.
We went to a party there.
But they had cleared out all the exhibits.
Yeah, it wasn't as...
Well, it's
but
just
there
a
is
room.
A bathtub
it was
in
just,
the foyer.
It was tacky, like, it
there's
was
a
like
bathtub
a shitty
in the
ranch
foyer.
House with shitty paintings.
Not even a single framed cape.
Nothing like that. It was for banquets only.
Wow. I went to the... I don't know if they have a Canadian Liberace Museum. I presume they do.
It's Burton Cummings.
That's a prime minister, I presume?
No, that's from...
he was in the Guess Who.
Yeah.
Nickelback.
The Liberace Museum is in a strip mall in Las Vegas, and I went there when it was in fully operational. And I have to say, considering that it's a museum in a strip mall,
I'm sorry that occurred to me.
That was great. I appreciate it.
Well, yeah.
Given that it was a museum in a strip mall, I had a great time. This is a nice museum. They got some nice vehicles in there. They got some nice outfits in there. We got a lot of stuff about him not finding the right guy.
Mm, sure.
And
you said guy. What a funny gaffe. One of your classic trademark malapropisms.
I'm the Joe Biden of podcasting. But I really was worried because there are two groups of there are these volunteers, just like in any museum. There's those kind of volunteers that work the counters,
the docents,
precisely. Yeah. And the docents were old ladies, like I presume your grandmother, the kind of ladies who saw Liberace as a kind of Justin Bieber for adults, sort of a romantic but asexual.
My grandma would go to his shows and throw panties and stuff like that.
Absolutely,
they really thought they had a chance.
Did the panties have like a hotel room number? Like when you throw a panty, what happens? what next?
I don't know.
I think that the act is that's the culmination. It's not supposed to go any further.
Okay, that's not a prelude to.
No,
a
I think it's just.
Well, technically,
I've been at a Tom Jones concert where a negligee is thrown on stage, and it didn't seem to, unless there was some sort of code that was going on that he could somehow
Well,
pick every third letter on the label and find a hotel room. I just seemed to be about
it's something
showing love.
Sure, okay. Yeah.
It's so a type maybe of wasn't hat even... for roadies.
It's like clapping your hands, but kind of gross.
When you throw panties on stage, I know you guys both do. I say when one throws panties on stage, does one bring extra panties to throw? Hurling panties?
I should think so.
I think so.
And I bet you you pick out the ones you're not going to
I don't
wear.
Think any woman would take the risk of throwing panties that she's worn.
But isn't the whole
you
idea
just don't know what could be
that
on
you're,
them?
You're wearing panties... panties, and you're just so overcome by Tom Jones's, horniness, your own horniness in Tom Jones's presence that you tear them off and chuck them at him?
Yeah, I thought that's the premise of the whole thing.
Come on, explain it, Andy.
But I didn't see any. I didn't see any panties getting removed.
Jordan,
you not just an old janitor with a push broom.
Yeah, no.
That's my life.
I think Tom Jones sings and they just fall off.
Sure.
They just drop down.
And fly through the air.
Yeah, from under the support hose, out over the...
You know what? We saw Tom Jones in Costa Mesa when we were courting, and he was pretty sexy. I have
really?
To say, yeah.
Sexier than Andy Richter?
Yes. Oh, I mean, yeah. Like, he's he's way hairier. Right?
Like,
for sure.
And he did it so mindlessly, but in the song Delilah, you know, the part, why, Delilah? And then I put my knife.
Of course, I know all the parts of Tom
Jones. And every time he says
Jones
the line
songs.
About, like, you know, I stuck my knife in and she laughed no more. And every time he did it, he did this gesture with the pinky out just like this and then stabbed. So his idea of stabbing a woman is like, you put the knife handle out, you pick it up very flamboyantly.
He sort of stabs a woman in the same way that the queen would hold a teacup.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. Or, that the queen would, like, serve tea to a dragon, you know.
He was completely... He was completely pummeled with panties right after he did that each time. Too.
At the Liberace Museum, the old ladies, you're worried that you're going to disillusion them by making a crack too loud about how outrageously gay every single thing in the entire place is. But then I had this interaction in the gift shop. My wife and I were in the gift shop, and this excited, maybe I'd say clean-cut 40-year-old-ish man comes up to us. You know, he's looks maybe much like a Dave Shumka is dressed right now. He's wearing a blue blazer but no tie. He's got a
pocket
a pocket square in there. He's looking good. He's a little cleaner up top than Dave Shumka is, but maybe it's an American version of Dave Shumka. And he's not this wilderness trapping type of shirt
that
they've got
man
going on
Dave
out
Shumka.
In Vancouver.
Yeah.
And this gentleman comes up to us and he says, "Oh, hello, it's so great to see you here." And we were like, I'm wondering, like, does he recognize me from the HD-FM station that I'm on here in Las Vegas? Like, is he one of the 50 people with an HD radio in his car? And also he took the time to look up my picture. I'm like, I'm really impressed that they're excited to see me. And he says, "Well, we don't get a lot of young people here." And I was like, "Oh, I get it. I'm 28 and I'm relatively young." And he says, "Hey, would you guys add us on Facebook?" He heard about Facebook, and he wanted us to be friends with Liberace.
If you guys would take the time to YouTube us, that would be great.
But this guy, in contrast to the old ladies, so the old ladies, I felt like I was confident of where they stood. I felt like that they were sex symbol,
oblivious.
Romance symbol.
Sexually oblivious, I believe
exactly.
Is the term here.
They were in the he's straight camp.
Yeah.
This guy, he introduced himself. He said he was the boss of the whole museum.
Sure.
He was the director of the museum and a very sweet guy. He wasn't outrageous in any way, but he was a raving queen. He was a lisping, mincing... the sophisticated kind, not the kind that's always yelling different stuff, the kind that wears...
And that's our other racial slur. Good night, folks.
The kind in a nice blazer.
Right.
You know what I mean? Not the kind that's making an issue of his...
He never said girlfriend.
...cultural identity.
He said it under his breath.
No, but, you know, he was a femmy gentleman that reasonably could not have been a heterosexual man. Right. And so what I wondered is, where on the scale does this guy stand? Because this guy is running the operation, and he's in charge of all these nice ladies, and clearly the narrative of the museum is he just never found the right girl.
Wasn't he out? I mean, didn't he end up after?
He was not out. I think
never,
he died
ever
in.
Even,
he
okay.
died in.
But he had a lover who he had or made his lover have plastic surgery to look like him.
Yeah. Right.
I'm sorry. Excuse me? Things that were not in the Liberace Museum but should have been for 200, please, Dave Shumka.
Did you not know that?
I'm sorry, I did not.
Yeah. There's pictures of it. It's the guy that sued him. That was his chauffeur. Oh, he had plastic surgery, and they ended up both at those.
Was this
big,
like a
smiling,
Saddam
Polish
Hussein situation? He was concerned about.
He was afraid of being murdered.
It was Stockholm syndrome.
You know how it is. You really, you know, when you're having sex with somebody, you just wish they looked exactly like you. You know.
Yeah, you try to, you know, you try to buy similar hats.
Right, exactly.
And it doesn't work.
Yeah, put up weird,
you know,
mirror
what,
contraptions just to try
or
and
a headshot with the eyes
face.
Cut out. A headshot with eyes. Yeah.
If you're cheap,
that only works for so long. Right.
Yeah.
And then you gotta
get
I'm not. I have to say that I'm not entirely 100% confident that if I were to do some gay stuff, that I wouldn't want to do it with a dude that looks like me. I'm not saying that I definitely would want to do it with a guy that looks like me, but thinking about it right now, I don't see why I wouldn't want to.
Oh, no,
it sounds
I
cool.
See. I've no. If I venture over into gay stuff, it's going to be with an overweight Eskimo. It's going to be my total opposite.
You're into Eskimo
Jesse,
dudes,
if
huh?
you really want to become a gay icon, you could do it by starting a Liberace museum that has all the things that aren't in the real Liberace museum.
Oh, yeah.
Why do you give those ideas away?
Sorry.
We have bills to pay.
Another year in the poorhouse.
So we're going to have, maybe if you need more stuff, you can have, like, you know, the shocking things that aren't in the regular Liberace museum, the plastic surgery, the gay lovers. Then you can have some stuff that's just, like, not true, like his medieval torture devices or something.
Sure.
This is Liberace's Iron Maiden.
Yes.
Anyway.
The Museum of Liberace Technology.
Yeah. Sure.
Well, the curator of the museum, there in all likelihood, he was married with children, and probably, you know, because there is some pretty cuckoo closeted people out there who you just find out.
But like, you know what? Growing up in the South, it's interesting because I knew a lot of gay people growing up who weren't out gay. And they didn't seem to be particularly in gay either, in the closet. They just kind of lived that way, and they were confirmed bachelors. And what made people uncomfortable was pointing it out and talking about it.
Yeah, shove that gay shit in their faces.
It's like, why are you talking about it all the time? And then my mom is oblivious in that way. She's real involved in the community theater in the small town, and she's like, you've got to meet Tony. We need to find him a girlfriend. And I'll just be like, Tony, the guy who can put his ankles behind his head and walk on his hands? No, I don't know, Mom. He doesn't know that that's a good sexual position. But it would be. But, like, she's oblivious. You know, he's over helping her sew all
Can
day
we clarify
long.
The scenario, Sarah? I'm just going to get a little deeper into Tony. So Tony is a closeted gay man, but he doesn't know he's gay. He's been limbering up for these many years, but not so that he can do gay stuff. But if he did do gay stuff, it would be great for the gay stuff
awesome.
That he would do.
But it's great because when he finally decides he's gay, he's not going to cramp up.
Right.
Because he's been getting limber.
It's kind of like the Jamaican bobsled team. They had no idea how good they were because they were from Jamaica.
Yeah.
God, have you ever had the fantasy of being from a country that has where one of the problems of the country is insufficient Olympic competitors?
That's pretty much my only dream. That's my only dream.
Like, that's a wonderful thing to have. Like, just be, because in there are
just be a rich asshole in Andorra.
Yeah.
I play badminton.
And you can do, like, you can pick anything. It's sort of like how, for a while there, Gina Davis was an Olympic hopeful in archery.
Oh, yeah.
And only very, was ranked in the number of people that would get onto the Olympic team, but was only narrowly eliminated because they have, like, a, you know, an elimination round.
Right.
But I feel like there's those kind of, like, princes of Abu Dhabi that are in the biathlon competition because they spend all their time in Monaco.
Yes.
on the slopes of Monaco or whatever.
Right.
You know, in the geography class.
Or did they just murder the competition?
Right. But that would be great. You could do. You could pick any sport you wanted. If you're Abu Dhabi, I mean, you couldn't. You probably couldn't pick, like, you know, 4x4, you know, swim relay.
Right.
Like that one. There's probably There's probably a few. Well, you have to at least have done high school swimming.
Right.
But if that's what it is, the Abu Dhabi 4x4 relay team is just one really rich fat guy. And when he gets back to the end of the pool, he just tags himself in.
Tags himself in, puts on a mustache, dives back in the water.
This guy can afford as many mustaches as he wants.
Sure, absolutely.
That's the financial barrier to getting into this.
And he can make an island shaped like a poem. if you look at it from the air.
I'd like to participate in an Olympic sport, possibly hammer throwing.
Sure.
Is that something you guys?
It's not just like hammers. It's a very specific thing. It's not just like hardware store hammers. Found that
beams.
Out the hard way. Yep.
And you had to, you parked far away. You lugged the hammers to the
stadium.
Lugged
a whole bag of them. plotted out my different distances.
My top is melting onto your chair.
I'm sorry. Excuse me?
When I leave here, I'm going to do something really gay. You'll be interested.
Okay.
I'm going. Or you got to pretend to be if you want to be a gay icon.
Let's talk, girlfriend.
I'm going
girlfriend.
To see Sex in the City with a group of women.
Oh.
So I'm wearing a rubber bustier that I bought at Patricia
Dhabi.
Fields about 20 years ago. And it's really disgusting. And look. I'm like alien.
I said to her, is it supposed to do that?
No, but, you know, I mean, it's plastic. Come on. It's lasted this
long. That's what she said to me then, and it seemed crazy then.
It's great.
Like
it's
you're
like
basically
that super
saying, yeah, I'm wearing garbage. It's a big deal.
Well, so do they in the movie.
are garbage.
Andy, what are your plans? Are you, you're not going to this
I'm going
thing.
To go home and eat Zanku with my children.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That sounds fun. Zanku's a nice chicken for those of you who
aren't
in the Southern California area. It's got a nice garlic sauce.
Oh, yeah, that creamy garlic sauce.
Do you think that garlic sauce is something that's worse than butter with just like
it's
garlic
got,
flavor
it's
in it?
I think it's just margarine and butter.
Yeah,
I think so.
It's just like frozen canola oil or something.
It's pretty shocking that garlic and fat might taste delicious.
It's super hydrogenated.
Well, guys, I don't want to keep you any longer since you have Sex in the City 2 to go to. And
please
you've
keep me.
You made your bed and lie in two and a half hours of it.
Can we just do a quick exploration? What's your relationship to Sex in the City? You kind of sound like you don't want to do this.
You know, I'm kind of fascinated by it because it enables women to hate each other so viciously. Either hate people who hate it or hate people who love it or hate the people in the movie. There was an incredible review in Seattle's paper, The Stranger, that this woman wrote. That was all about, like, if this is feminism, sew up all my holes right now. And she called, should I...
She thinks the difference between a feminist
alert?
And a non-feminist is operating holes.
Well, no, her point,
functional
her
holes.
Point was...
I go with that.
Her point was, they go to a Muslim country in the movie, and Kim Cattrall's character offends everyone. And she put it in the review. She said, like, after they've repeatedly told her to cover her breasts and her mons pubis in public, and she repeatedly says she's not, then she, you know, like, rips off her clothes in the public square or something. Spoiler alert. Sorry. I haven't even seen it yet.
She punches a Quran.
Well, yeah.
With her vagina.
A fist comes out of her vagina.
And all the women.
Valentino designed
rip
for
off
her
their
a
burkas.
Gown.
All the women take their burkas off, and they're all wearing what, in this review, the woman says, the same, you know, shitty, expensive cloth and feathers over their emaciated goblin shoulders. It's just delicious. It's like candy. I feel like the movie's existence, it's going to be terrible. It's going to be 2.5 hours of just horrible stuff. But... hey, it's a night out. It's a night away from the kids. Okay, but I feel like the movie's existence is redeemed by the awesome reviews of how horrible it is. A.O. Scott's in the New York Times was great, too.
Dana Stevens in Slate is quite good as well. But yes, I did a little Schadenfreude Sex in the City 2 review looking
See,
at
it
work.
See, I hate it, too. You guys hate it, right? You hate Sex in the City. You hate anything about
my
it.
Wife, my wife, who's an otherwise quite sensible woman, watched the entire run of Sex in the City. She bought it on DVD. I made her sell it after she watched it because I didn't want to look at it. She watched the entire thing.
You could
thing.
Just put it on a shelf and ignore it.
I couldn't ignore it. It was like, look at me.
You had to make some money out of it.
Yeah.
I mean, at least. Well, I didn't watch it when it was on TV originally because we had just moved away from New York and I'd had a baby. So I was like, I can't handle watching
Too much
that.
Sex and the city.
Yeah, it's going to make me. No, I just felt like it would make me, you know, miss New York and resent
and
the
miss,
life that I had lost by having
miss,
a child.
And miss gays.
And miss gays. I didn't have any new gays, fresh gays out here yet. So so
she
I didn't
tears
watch
them
it
off
for a
like
long
paper
time.
Towels.
And then I started Post watching them. It and he would sit down on the sofa next to me and just be like, oh. And I would tell him, you have to get the fuck out of the room. Because, yes, I know it's shit. Leave me alone with my shit. I want to watch it. So I did watch a part
We've
of
had
it,
a few shows.
But
like
not
that.
Religious.
Our pal Jen Kirkman, we invited Jen Kirkman to come on this program, the very funny comedian Jen Kirkman. She has an entire agenda built around the premiere of Sex in the City 2. She was like, I got to go to Sex in the City 2. Oh, well, there you go.
See? We're having dinner, probably some cocktails. It's going to be really gay. Yeah.
What showing are you going to
do? Come back and
we're
fuck this Arclight. Place up.
Yeah. We're going to the Arclight, and the only row they had left was the front row. So we have this. I said, hey, maybe we can see up their skirts. But we're going to have to sit like this for 2.5 hours.
Jen gave me the impression when I corresponded with her about this that while she's aware of what Sex in the City is, she's on board. I didn't get the impression that she was going to make fun. She knows what it is, awful, but she wasn't going to be like, oh, this is awful. What about you?
I like I said, it's to me, it's like a social engagement. I went to the first one.
You're
and
seeing
I wore
your
this,
four
this
best
vest.
Friends from New York.
Thing. Yes, exactly. I wore this to the first movie, and we actually had two guys come with us, and we saw it in the afternoon. We went out and had drinks afterwards and just ripped the whole thing apart. That's what the fun of it is, so I need to do some ripping tonight.
Excellent.
This thing is not going to make it to SATC3, I don't think.
It is our hope,
Hopefully
Sarah.
You can at least make it to the Ren Fair.
Right. I actually also wore it because this is a comic book store and all these comic nerds, guys, you guys like this plasticky.
Yeah, nerds.
Shit, right?
Fellas.
You're practically gay.
Well, we hope that you
We're
have
gay
a...
We're gay with worse
you,
hair.
Yeah.
We wish you all the best at Sex in the City, too. And Andy, we wish you all the best at Zancoot Chicken. As
thank
sung
you. Thank you.
As sung about by Beck, Sarah Thayer and Andy Richter, ladies and
gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you guys so much for coming. A pleasure to have you.
La, 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 la.
You'll be like Charles Barkley after he dunked on Godzilla.
Did you read on the internet? I'm going to hold this. We're going to talk for a minute about Space Jam.
Okay.
In just a second, but I want to bring our guests on.
Yes.
Because they're two of our absolute favorite guests.
Oh, they were in Space Jam. I've got a topic for these fellas.
Okay. You might know these guys from their MTV television program, The Human Giant. You might know them from 30 Rock or The Office. Or any live stage programs, all kinds of things.
Too early.
Please.
Too early.
You're ruining it. Please welcome to this stage. Please welcome to this stage Rob Hubel and Paul Scheer.
Nice.
Oh.
Good evening.
So happy to have you dudes up here with us.
Thanks. We're doing a marathon. We're hitting a bunch of different podcasts.
You'd be surprised how many are going on this weekend.
Yeah, this is our 15th right now.
I'm exhausted. This is not an original idea, what you're doing.
I've been
is
going
bullshit.
Since 10 o'clock. Well, there, I guess, we have a different idea. We are going on podcasts for 15 different hours. They're just doing one.
What's weird is
yeah, there's a, that's what I'm saying. Their whole this is
wow. Are you this shitty to all the podcasts? Like when you start out like a huge asshole.
What's are you guys odd about
you guys, what are you sponsored by? Diet Dr Pepper or some bullshit like that? Most podcasts are sponsored by liquor.
You guys are on this podcast tour, but you said podcast. This is 15, but 1 through 14 were all Coffee Break language course podcasts.
Well, that's true.
Let's Coffee not get Break specific
Spanish,
about it, but yes.
Czech, mm-hmm. Malagasy, yes.
Yep. Our Malagasy
Tagalog.
Is very good.
Tagalog.
We have a huge Tagalog audience.
So I guess where's the bar? Like if we wanted to, you know, we want you guys to leave here on the way to your next podcast
sure.
as the best. Where's yeah. what's where's
well, they're
the bar?
Already the best. They want
what would you have
they,
to
we
do
want them to
make
think we're the best.
Yeah, yeah, oh yeah.
We would have to see your guys' tits.
Okay. All right.
To me
okay.
to me it was a lot simpler. I just needed to get a Dr. Pepper with Don Cheadle on. Some chips. That's all I needed.
Wow.
You want, oh wow, oh there.
Whoa. Wow. Okay, sure.
That was one.
Yeah.
Dude,
it was
we
one.
Totally did it.
It was yeah, it was we tit. Did.
You know what this operation's about? Making that dreams come true. Rob, you're welcome.
That was scary.
So, guys, I don't know if this is a, you know, secret skull and bones thing that you're not about supposed to talk about or not, but you guys, maybe from what I understand, had a Vegas vacation recently.
Oy. Paul, yeah. Do you want to comment on that?
Yeah, we had a
Paul's
Vegas...
the married person, so I have nothing to lose here.
Oh, sure.
We had a Vegas vacation. We love the movie The Hangover, and we said
we wanted to relive it.
Do
yeah.
this.
Let's do
let's
it. Go
and
let's
have go a lot of
fun. Let's go fuck Mike Tyson. Let's go
yeah.
and fuck
we
him.
We try to, you know, we run a tour where we try to recreate the events of The Hangover in a double decker bus.
Sounds really
it's a
funny.
Lot of fun.
We look at Ken Jeong's Ding Dong. And
it's not Ken Jeong. It's a guy who looks like Ken Jeong who will be naked for you. You got to tip him.
It was fun,
a
actually.
Lot.
We did have a good time in all seriousness. We just went out there to mess around, and Rob Riggle went with us also, and. Yeah.
Was this comedy royalty only, or were other people invited?
Normals,
as I call
them.
We were just
hanging out, and I think it was just like we hadn't. None of us had been blackout drunk in a long time, so it was a safe place. Vegas is a very safe place to go and get blackout drunk.
Sure, there's because every place you're in has like a contingency plan for it.
Yeah,
you're like oh, this guy blacked out.
Well, the best part of my part of the Vegas trip was watching someone convince somebody else, and I'll keep these people nameless, but it wasn't Rob or I.
Sounds like.
sign a credit card receipt for a lot of money being drunk out of their mind. And he not only held the flashlight, but helped maneuver the gentleman's hand to get the signature. Yeah. So that was pretty great. I was like, wow, that is, it wasn't even a problem.
Was this at a strip bar?
It was a professional personal entertainer.
It may have been at a strip bar. Yeah, did you know that
Arby's?
If you spend a certain amount of money at a strip bar, you have to do a thumbprint? You really have to do that. So that
you can't get up.
You can't back out of it.
I stole my credit card. Yeah. I didn't mean to spend $15,000
sure.
on four bottles of
So that's what our friend did, and we let that happen. So.
No, congratulations, guys.
I did look over at the price of an ooh. He's going to regret that in the morning. And then I went back to drinking my $10 drink.
And he said, keep fucking Tyson.
we also shot machine guns. We went to a gun range where you can shoot, like, literally any gun. It's so dangerous. We were still drunk. I'm sure we were still
we
drunk.
We were definitely still drunk. We planned a lot of activities for the day after are blackout drunk. So, like, all of a sudden we went to bed at 7 and then woke up around noon to go out and race cars. Like so that was the first stop. So we're still all drunk
just
racing.
Just pick the loudest activity you can.
Yeah.
Well, and this is, like, not like racing go-karts. This is, like, crazy go-karts.
Like Indy 500 cars.
You have to put on a face mask and then put a helmet on over the face mask because you could wipe out and hurt yourself.
Yeah, it's where Dale Earnhardt died.
Wow. In Vegas.
At this
trap pole position.
Yeah.
Sure.
But one of the guys
was wearing a yard of margarita around his neck. Driving a go-kart.
When you say pole position, is that the strip club or the racetrack?
This is the racetrack.
Doubles.
One of the guys that was with us actually had to pull over after a few laps and just be like, no, I can't. Come get me.
They had
I
to
can't.
Pull him off
Yeah,
the
they
course.
Had to come and, like, get him off. He was just too drunk to too do drunk. It. Like, wow. He was too drunk.
So then after that, we were like, well, the best way to finish off that drunk is to then shoot semi-automatic
Let's go shoot guns.
Yeah. Something else totally loud.
So we went to this
with
gun
a flock
range.
Of geese.
And this gun range has it's really interesting. They have all these targets. It's an indoor gun range, and they have all these targets on the wall that you can have. And it's really crazy. They have, like, Target, it's really racist.
Well, some of them are like normal, like, you know, the bad guy, you know, just a guy looking mean. Like,
it's like a cartoon character. But yeah. Then like the ones that are sold out are like the woman.
The woman is sold out.
Always sold
it's
out.
Sold out.
Always. You can't get the woman.
So weird.
And she has a little word bubble that says, hold my purse while I try this on.
It's always sold out.
I did see someone. There's another one where there's a man holding a woman by the throat.
Oh, okay.
And he has a gun. And then I saw some kid come out with his finished target. He's like, ha-ha, look what I did. And he just shot the woman. And totally saved the bad guy. Yeah.
The only ones where you don't feel too guilty, they now have cartoonish ones where they're Nazi zombies.
Which
so
is
no
awesome.
One feels bad about that.
Oh, that's,
well, except
yeah,
the mother
sure.
of those Nazi zombies.
Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, it was a lot of fun. So we also work for the Vegas Tourism Board. So
get on it. Go on. Get on it.
What happens in Vegas, you know the rest.
Well, it's great to it's awesome to have you guys here. It's
how long has this been going on, or how long does it go on?
We're in the latter half of hour three.
Okay,
we've got 5 hours ahead of us.
Where do you guys go to the bathroom?
We've got sneak leaks. I have my friend
if
Matt
that's
Dobbs,
not a real thing. That should be a real
my friend,
be a
here's
thing.
The thing. My friend Matt Dobbs, who actually was the originally held down Jordan's chair in the Sound of Young America 10 years ago for 2 weeks before he had signed up for a class that conflicted. Mm. The original co-host of the Sound of Young America. His dad, this is the University of California, Santa Cruz.
Oh, okay.
His father, Mr. Dobbs, he preferred to be called Mr. Dobbs, ran a mail order business out of his home, and he mail ordered like Latin American folk art and sneak a leaks. And
so what is the sneak a leak?
So a sneak a leak is, it's a catheter and bag system that a gentleman.
You got to put a straw up your.
Yeah, can you do that yourself? Is that, can you
yeah,
shove
you can.
Something?
I will okay. tell you that you can.
Thank you.
That is, just find a bathroom.
You have to
point.
Put a thumbprint afterwards. basically, it's like, I think the main audience of this is like a long-haul trucker.
Okay.
Who doesn't want to pee in a jar, so he just puts the catheter in his wee-wah and pees into the jug that's attached to the...
I don't think truckers call it their wee-wah.
They definitely...
I gotta jam this thing in a wee-wah.
That is what truckers call it. That's trucker talk.
It is actually
that's
very...
CB radio talk. They would say, wee-wah. I got the catheter in my wee-wah, and then the other one would say, 10-4, good buddy.
Yeah. I thought...
Why are you telling me this? Why are you...
I thought that, you know, I did a... there was like a Comedy Central show long ago that never got on the air.
Oh, God, you always have to plug shit.
You know, Comedy Central really is the home of comedy. It's always been the home of comedy. And, you know, tune in tonight and just watch a bunch of great stuff. It was a show where they had like weird inventions. And this one invention that we demonstrated was called the bumper dumper.
Oh,
and
yeah.
You would attach a toilet seat to your bumper, and then you could just poop wherever you wanted. You'd have to drive away very quickly, too, I guess. That
Wait,
would be
what do you
part.
Mean? It would just go
you
through
just
the toilet thing, and then it would just go to the ground?
Yeah, so you didn't have to...
Why don't you just turn around and hold on to the bumper?
Well, because I feel like you want the seat.
That you
want
to trick your ass into thinking that...
You're like, I'm civilized. I'm going to sit on
sure. I'm not an animal.
Yeah, I'm not an animal. I need to let it sit on the ground, and you drive off. What a great way to, you know, just like, I just pop out... And then also to take that seat out and put it there. You have to really be away from a lot of people because you are just taking the
I imagined it being stuck to the bumper the whole time.
Yeah.
That's great. Like a bike rack that's always there. Yeah, that would be awesome.
Yeah, it says you have an outdoorsy lifestyle just like the bike rack does.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the kind of thing you'd see in a sport utility vehicle commercial.
I wonder if the bumper dumper still exists.
I think it probably does. Can we get... We got somebody. Yeah. Mariel's back there on the internet, I
bumper
think. She's
dumper.
Monitored. She's checking in with the chat room. Let's take a look at Google Bumper Dumper.
I'm sure that's
Mr. Dobbs.
A millionaire now. Everyone's using them.
Mr. Dobbs. Everyone's shitting on the ground near their car.
I'm confused about this audience, too. Like, who are you guys? Like, why are you... live here?
Who was here at 4 o'clock?
There's a mic over there. Someone's going to just step up and tell us what your fucking deal is.
Were you guys shopping here?
Most
and then
of these
you were like,
people,
oh, there's
most
a
of the people
the
have
back.
Been here. So if you've been here since 4 p.m., how about a round of applause? If you've been here since 4 p.m.
Wow.
It's almost everybody.
Now the people at home can't see it, But there's about 900 people here.
900 people.
And
most of them celebrities.
Yeah, you've got the Pitt Jolies over there. Mm-hmm. And then
Bruce Willis.
Conrad Bain. Surprised he made it out today.
Sure. After the show, Diablo
Paul.
Cody.
Too soon.
I said nothing about the gentleman that's in question.
Conrad Bain played the father of Gary Coleman on a TV show, Different Strokes. Oh,
and I was surprised to see him here, but I'm glad that he held his appointment.
Wow. That was...
This will air in like a month.
Which do you think is more offensive?
Wait, hold on. Does everyone in the audience not know that Gary Coleman died?
Yeah, Gary Coleman.
What a way to learn.
I hate to be the 40. I didn't say a thing about Gary Coleman.
They never uttered bad. I said Conrad Bain. We were talking about Hollywood celebrities.
I hate
celebrities.
For Paul Scheer to break
Conrad
it to
Bain.
You like this.
You know, Coleman's 42 years old. He passed away.
Paul, they're leaving. Everyone is leaving. They're rushing out of the building.
You know, my mom works in the maternity ward of a hospital, and she...
name
dropper. She delivered
She delivered Gary Coleman.
My mom's in the Conrad Bain's business.
Sure. And she talked about how, you know, 9 months after the 9/11 attacks, you know, five times as many babies as they usually have. This will be a similar thing. I'm sure that's where everyone was rushing to.
yeah.
To fuck their loved one. To make
the I did think
Gary Coleman's death babies.
I did read. I will say this.
Did you read a funny tweet?
I read. Yeah.
I didn't think it was that bad.
What? Oh, I didn't read that one. All right. Well, say that one.
The bad news is that many of the babies will be named in honor of Gary Coleman, and they'll be named Webster.
The one thing I saw on Twitter today that was, it was like, you know, you can click on like a Twitter feed of like everybody writing on one topic, and the topic was Gary Coleman, end of an era. And everyone just kept on saying it's the end of an era. And I was like, really?
The era of ironic cameos?
I don't know what that era was. And no offense to Gary Coleman, but it just seemed like a bold proclamation. Like, that's the end of an era. Yeah. Like,
the end of the innocence.
I really am always, like, floored how quickly people make jokes about it, yourself included.
I was very proud. I didn't make any jokes on Twitter. I didn't make a joke here. There was one that I'm only repeating,
and I am not endorsing jokes about this at all. But I did think this was
Is just like a journalist.
It was pretty clever, and it was Dragon Boy Suede, aka Howard Kramer, who said, "What you talking about, St. Peter?"
Oh, well, then should I share the one that I read that maybe is more offensive than that? Mine's maybe more offensive.
I'm backing away from you.
All right. Yeah, I'm not going to say mine.
Anyway, this is all for charity.
That one is kind of nice because it implies he's in heaven. Which is great.
I mean, has
probably erroneous, but great.
If everyone here has seen Lost, I saw a great one where Gary Coleman's also in the church. They CGI'd him into the church today. That was very quick thinking.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
In the zeitgeist?
Yeah.
Yeah. Jesse, end of an era.
Change of topic.
End of an era does seem strong. Am I right? Anyway, it's great. Late in hour three of the Max Fun Marathon.
How late will this go?
This is going to midnight.
So it's not a full marathon.
It's not 26 miles, if that's what you're asking.
I mean,
we don't travel.
Is someone running a marathon while you're doing this and you're checking in with them? That would be interesting.
Yeah, that would be
good. Looks like people are just sitting here drinking Dr. Pepper.
I want to ask this. I want to challenge one person in the audience.
They do have gummy bears in their pockets.
Is one person in the audience planning on staying here from 4 to midnight?
Yeah, if you're planning on staying here, how about a round of applause?
Look at that. That's good.
We've taken down your names.
Do you have surprise guests?
No, absolutely not.
We've been very forthcoming, but we've got some good stuff.
Would you like a surprise guest? We could get you a surprise guest.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
What?
Yes.
The two
is
here.
Yeah. The Rock is here. The Rock is here.
Hey, Rock.
It was great to have The Rock here. We'll see you next time, Dwayne. We'll see you next time. Sorry we didn't have enough
people
mics.
People don't
for
know
you,
that
but.
He donates, what does he donate? $57 a month.
Yeah, that's true. To MaximumFund.org. Yeah. MaximumFund.org/donate. I've actually named the donation page Dwayne The Rock Johnson, MaximumFund.org/donate. The landing page has been his name.
How come Steve Austin really never took off?
You mean as an entertainer?
Yeah, I feel like The Rock took off. China took off. Steve Austin, even the John Cena, he took off. Steve Austin.
If I'm not mistaken, she's doing porn. Am I not mistaken?
Well, she took off. She took off and went somewhere else.
She took off her underoos.
An area to get railed.
But I mean, Steve.
I think he might have just quit though. I think there might have been. I don't know, but I think he might have just like gotten out of the biz.
But Stone Cold should have had one movie.
No, actually, I think he's in this Expendables movie that has all the action stars of yesteryear. Does anybody know that for sure?
Yeah.
He is.
He also has a chain of ice cream stores across the country.
Really? Stone Cold Stone.
Yeah.
It's like Magic Johnson's TGI Fridays.
How do I keep this cold slab so cold? Pour cold beer on it.
Yeah.
What's weird is
now you're drunk.
316 flavors.
It is like Magic Johnson's TGI Fridays in that they're both, you know, owned and named after celebrities, but they're also both African American themed.
Wait, Magic Johnson owns a TGI Fridays?
He does. It's by the airport.
He just owns one?
He only owns one, but it is called Magic Johnson's TGI Friday.
Wow. So, like, but I know he owns, like, a chain of movie theaters. It seems bold just to be like, I'm going to buy one restaurant.
Also, yeah.
I own one Kookaroo. It'll be called Magic Johnson's Kookaroo, and that'll be it.
It'll be by the airport.
In my book, I think the boldest part is the double possessive. Right? It's Magic Johnson's TGI Fridays. Who does this restaurant belong to? Riddle me that, Magic Johnson. Hour three of eight.
You know, we did, I don't want to plug anything, but we did a marathon on MTV for 24 hours.
You did, and you had lots of amazing guests
on
your
show.
Genuine famous. You had our friend Andrew W.K. on, if I remember
correctly. Yes, well, he was live videotaped. But we had Benga from The Wire.
Wow.
We had a lot of bands. Ted Leo, Mastodon,
Conrad Bain.
And when does this air?
That was several years ago.
Okay.
Any tips for
marathoners? Are you trying to put us in our place? And when was this exactly?
Guys, I'm this guy you've never heard of. Eat a dick.
I'm trying to acknowledge you. I'm not trying to shut you out, but it is hard to like be part of this and also...
No, I understand.
Well, I feel like they've already written you out. The camera's nowhere near you.
Well, there's that camera.
Oh, there it is.
He has his own camera.
He's got the Shumka cam.
Yeah. Oh, okay, nice.
It's in a Canadian aspect ratio. Yeah.
Occasionally, it shows mainly him, but occasionally it'll flash to an episode of the Trailer Park Boys.
I will say, this is the one thing I think you should do. It's still early enough. You should have someone start to drink now and check in with them throughout the night. Because that will be, as you're getting later and later, it will be a fun source of the audience can check in with
how
that.
How drunk are you?
You know,
one of you guys. But
our pal Brian Fernandez is back there at the bar. And if I'm not mistaken, Brian, let me know. Do we have a nice Chardonnay back there? So if somebody wants to take up what I call the Chardonnay Challenge.
Oh, I would love that. From 7 to midnight, just drinking Chardonnay as much as you can drink.
Yeah.
We'll ask you questions. You'll get up to that mic. We'll ask you questions.
Tomorrow we'll take you go-karting and shooting machine guns.
It's really fun. Really fun.
You know what's funny to me, though, is that like Meltdown thought that this was going to be like a big boom to their business. There's no fucking Shoppers out there. Like everyone's back here.
Well, why would you?
This
isn't for fucking geeks. This is a podcast.
Yeah, right? it's totally different audience.
For the fanboys. This is for the geeks. One thing I wanted to say about Vegas that I thought was funny.
Fanboy is a guy who jacks off to Japanese comic books, correct?
I think that would be a nerd. I think a nerd does that. Because I think dresses up like an anime character and then has sex
to
with somebody.
Jack off.
Yeah.
Right.
Just to jack off the normal things.
Wait, hold on. Let's just settle this now. Let's go around the room. Let's all talk about what we jack off to. And then we'll put this to bed.
I jack off to fanboys, I think.
Then you're an anime head.
I just put my dick in a fan and
Paul, you had another Vegas observation.
I just had a Vegas observation, which was we were talking to this woman who was showing us how to shoot guns, and she honestly said, one day we put a baby in here and shot it.
A toy baby.
Well, wait, I said, a real one? She goes, no, I wish. That was the thing that I been sitting with that I needed to tell you.
They also told us.
No, I wish. Why? No one should wish that.
It's like, yeah, I'm awful.
They also told us that they've had quite a few people come in there and just ask for one bullet, meaning that they were going to kill them. Like, and they're like, no, get the fuck out of here. And then they've had
or,
people,
like, pay for the whole thing. You're going to die.
Well, that's
like
what the smart people do. People have done that. They'll fucking go in there and be like, yep, wow. Hey, how's it going? Can I get a thing? And then
if
they just
you're
go,
asking
like,
for one bullet, you're a show-off suicide person. Yeah, right. Oh, one bullet, please.
Yeah, that's like a cry.
Come on, just, yeah, just
put it on
it.
The table. I'll be journaling.
Also,
you know,
I kind of feel like asking the sequins are a bit much.
What?
The sequins are a bit much, too.
On the bullets?
On the suicidal person. The show-off suicidal person.
Well, I was going to say, like, it'd be like going into like a hardware store. Like, does this garage door keep in all the fumes from my car? I'm just, no, boy, don't worry.
Could this rope be tied into the form of a noose?
If I was standing on a chair.
There's labeling requirements for nooseability. Yeah.
What are you guys doing after the marathon? Like, immediately, for the weekend, are you going to just decompress
go
the whole time? You're going to put your dick in a fan.
Yeah.
I have my company Memorial Day barbecue tomorrow.
Where do you work?
I work for Fuel TV.
Always plugs it.
I was
man.
On Fuel TV one time, and I did an interview in a studio that had a half pipe.
Yeah, that's the show I work for.
Me sitting casually on a half pipe did not look good at all.
You had to do like this. Sure. Anyway.
We're just hanging out on this half pipe, rapping.
So you have your
cool stuff.
Cameras? Where did those come from?
I would just normally be just cutting it up over here on this half pipe.
Sure. My pads on.
What's going to happen at the company barbecue?
Here's the guy who throws the company barbecue is like king of all bros. And when I went to it last year, he's this kind
don't
of...
you mean bro of all bros?
Bra of all bros?
Yes, sure. Broseph of all... Yeah, yes. Anyway, so he comes out of... He's this kind of squat, redheaded guy. And he comes out of his house... with two Hulk hands that have been hollowed out so he could put beers in them.
Nice.
And he comes out and has like, Jordansky. This is my boss.
I love it. That's the best boss in the world.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just
you
obsessed
understand
with
that he's in
Hulk
charge
hits.
Of things, right, sure. Paul?
What?
He's in charge of things.
Yeah, I like that guy.
He's probably
the
guy
who put
the half pipe in the studio.
Sure.
Put it in there, man. Make people look really comfortable and cool.
Is your Memorial Day picnic notably extreme, Jordan? Excuse me. Is it notably action oriented?
Sure. Yes. The funny thing about the world of skateboarding and snowboarding, you're not supposed to say extreme anymore.
Let us
action
guess.
Sports.
That's lame. Like legitimizing.
Yeah. Right.
What do you mean?
Then
what do you
again,
mean? Like if someone
fair,
does
so
something cool,
sports.
You go, whoa, that was so action sports.
Sure.
Action sports Doritos.
Yeah. How do you use it? I don't understand.
I don't think you do. It's not meant to be said aloud. It's just meant for PowerPoint presentations.
Hasn't all that sort of attitude died off? Like, what do those people do now?
Have where's Dan Cortez?
Yeah.
What is Dan Cortez up to? No, I think the toot is still the same, just for like marketing purposes. They don't want you to say
don't
it.
Don't casually use the word toot. Yeah. Like toot we all use same. That. No
you
one in here
oh,
uses
I say
that
toot.
Word.
You know what I think probably is like is the major. It's sort of like in professional wrestling, how you wrestle in the WWF, but you can't. You don't make enough money to retire. So when you're done in the WWF, you start barnstorming to less WWF friendly cities. You know, like you're doing a
right,
show
you,
in Dubuque.
You kind of follow the path of the wrestler.
I think a Dan Cortez is probably working his way down on the level of extremity. So initially he was,
he's
you
doing
know,
like resort town closed circuit TV.
Yeah.
About like where you can buy
local
dream catchers.
Street luge contest.
Telluride.
Eventually he'll be north of the border in Canada.
Sure. Yeah, that's where they all go to die.
Have you guys seen...
Are you guys prepping for Carson Daly?
Yeah, he bought one bullet.
Carson Daly's hunting extravaganza.
What's weird is that in Canada, the gun control laws are such that you can only buy one bullet.
Yeah, that's right.
The only thing that it's legal to do with a gun in Canada is commit suicide.
Fair enough.
Those liberals.
When we were in Las Vegas, I will say that I don't remember a lot past a certain point.
Which is surprising to me because I was with him and he seemed totally coherent.
I'm a terrible drunk in that you can't tell that.
Wouldn't
I'm
have
drunk.
Guessed.
Well, I just, oh. No, I don't get rowdy at all. Like it's just like right now, as far as you know, I'm fucking smashed.
And he's being
like,
totally truthful.
It's really like I really am like the worst type, the most dangerous type of drunk because like I was like this in Las Vegas, but I was like I don't remember anything.
That's crazy
but
because
people keep like buying you drinks and stuff.
Well, we were at this.
We
place.
We started at 2.
Yeah, we started really early, and then we went
stopped
to some,
at 7.
Yeah, and we went to this strip
morning.
Bar, and I barely remember getting like a. However long we were there, like a 3-hour lap dance from this girl. And
barely remember.
I don't remember anything except going, how much do I owe you? And her going, $500. And then so I had to,
that's
and
the
there's
fun part.
Conveniently an
that.
ATM right there. So I just went over and got out like $600.
With a $10 fee.
It's a surcharge, yeah. But then somehow I think I gave her my phone number or somehow we exchanged phone numbers. I don't know why. What
she
am I going to marry
from
her?
The
like,
office
I don't know what's going to happen.
Please marry her.
So then I got, and then I got a text from her yesterday. So I so there.
What
you
did
know,
she say?
Keep your fingers crossed.
What did she say? Did she listen to this podcast?
She said, "I found your high school ring inside my vagina."
Now here's the deal, guys. We never went to a strip club. Yeah. It was just me and Rob Riggle dancing on Rob for 4 hours. And
what?
We split.
Wait, Paul's covering up the mic. I didn't hear what he said.
He said your new girlfriend's really beautiful, yeah. And the wedding's gonna be great.
And I'm $250 richer. So is Rob.
Well, Paul, Rob, thank you so much for taking
That's
all this
it?
Time to be on the show. That's it. It's easy.
That was
it.
It.
It's oh, that wow.
Do we
easy.
Get any confirmation on Bumper Dumper?
No.
It exists.
It exists. And who has started drinking Chardonnay?
Yes,
we do need
we're
one
Chardonnay
volunteer.
Head.
Who's in charge of Chardonnay? I see someone with a beverage back
Don't
there.
Don't waste this opportunity, you guys.
If none of you do it,
she's
I'm going to do it, and that's going to be
Unfortunately,
bad.
She's got a shiraz.
Thanks for having us,
thank
you guys.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you guys so much. Rob Hubel, Paul Scheer. La, 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 la. Well, there goes Jordan, Jesse, Go for another week. Our thanks to everyone who donated during the Max Fund Drive and all of our continuing donors. There are now thousands of you, or more than 1,000 of you, anyway. There are many of you, and the changes will be taking place here over the next couple of weeks, thanks to the new funds that you've brought into our coffers on a continuing basis. If you donated and you're waiting for your stuff, the Sound of Young America DVDs are going out shortly. As I record this, they will be going out next week, first class mail, so they should come in the next couple weeks. T-shirts still have to be printed, so those will come in a month to 6 weeks, something like that, and probably something similar for the other prizes, unless we actually get our acts together to distribute those sooner. Thank you so much to all of you who donated, every single person out there. It's your support that makes it possible for us to do this. And if you haven't donated, remember that we're supported by donations. So it doesn't have to be the Max Fund Drive for you to go to MaximumFund.org/donate and give to support what we do. 206-984-4FUN is the number to call if you have a momentous occasion or want to tell us about something. You can also email us at jjgo@MaximumFund.org. We'll be rolling out full audio of the Max Fund Marathon for donors within the next couple of weeks. I can't promise you exactly when it is. I happen to be on my way out of town taking a, if I do say so myself, well-deserved vacation. Not a lot of gas left in this tank. You're lucky you got this. But it should be coming eventually. In the meantime, the first 4 hours of the marathon are up on video on our Vimeo, or go to MaximumFund.org and click on Jordan Jesse Go to find it there. You can watch it in lovely high quality without any buffering or other live internet event issues. Our theme music, Love You, by The Free Design, available on Kitzer Fund, the best of The Free Design, on Light in the Attic Records. I think that's all that needs to be said. We'll see you next time on Jordan Jesse Go.